business? 8.3, library discussion. So this ended last time and council wished to continue it, so here it is, 8.3, the wishes to start. Councilor Muse?
I just, with the expense of the infrastructure of a new road, I just don't think the taxpayers should be paying for that. I don't see any benefits of having the building separate over by the clean place. I see a lot more benefits of having it attached to the mayor's center.
Any other discussion?
I think with where we are right now, proposing to put the library, it's it's a convenient spot, because of White Queen's Place and such is. But I think now with us going forward with the pool, which wasn't part of the discussion prior to, because the library is bought with the library and the. What we were doing with the pool, but now we're looking at saying that the library should be over where it is, or with a more combined unit at Queen's Place, be more cost effective to build and be better equipped. I think that's part of our discussion right now.
Okay, and before we get into a discussion, right. We do have a motion regarding the location of the library at Queen's Place.
That's right.
So if in order, and the library discussion that we've always had was the standalone library. So if council wishes to change their mind on a standalone library and the location, then someone needs to make a motion to rescind that motion. Otherwise, this discussion, I'm going to call void, because we do have a motion that the library is going to be built at Queen's Place.
Point of order.
Not a library.
Point of order.
Not a library pool, but a library.
But this discussion is, I find, is where we want to put it, if we change it. Maybe it's going to stay where it is. But the discussion is right now, do we put it back over at the Legion site? Do we put it onto the Mayor's Center? Do we put it somewhere else? That's a discussion. So we can't rescind the motion until we know and have the council in agreement, I don't think we're ever going to agree, but council, the majority, saying where the library should be. So you got to have this discussion first before we can rescind the motion.
You don't have discussions about why you need to rescind motions. You either make a motion that you want to rescind it, but at this point in time, our motion says that we are building a library at Queen's Place.
I understand, but to Councilor Muse's point, this just is a discussion item. It says library.
Right.
It doesn't say we're rescinding a motion.
Right.
No one
so
gave
we don't,
notice
so
of it.
So there is no need to talk about library location because we know where the library is going to be located. We've already determined that.
I thought the point of this was to have a discussion because there were lots of questions last time. Our CAO wasn't here, and we didn't realize that this road, water and sewer, sidewalks was close
okay,
to
so if that's your discussion, then you can ask those questions, but we're not discussing location of a library. If you have questions about a road that's part of the library, then that is a question. But at this point in time, we do have a motion that says the library is going to be built at Queen's Place.
So does the person that made the motion have to rescind the motion?
No.
I do not believe, no, because sometimes that person may no longer even be on council.
I still don't understand how that Why can't we have a discussion here? Why can't council ask a few questions if they want to? If someone then says, you know what, I want to rescind the motion, they could do so at that time.
Councilor Charlton, if you wish to have a discussion about the road, then you can have a discussion about the road to the library. But we're not discussing the location. But if you did have questions at the last meeting about the cost of the road, and was that included in the price?
So are you saying that I can't ask if the steering committee looked at adding on to Queen's Place 4 and asking for some history here, because we didn't have all this information? Are you saying I can or I can't?
The committee looked at, we know what the committee sites looked at. We were all aware of the various sites.
I don't believe so.
We all knew what sites the committee, Councilor Brown?
When we had the original discussion, presentation to council brought in all the, I think there was 13 or 14 sites that we looked at, and all of them were listed at that time when we had the discussion.
And building on Queen's Place
and
was not listed at that point in time?
Just to clarify, there was eight sites.
Eight sites, yeah. I couldn't remember exactly how
so
many.
So the steering committee decided what the criteria was about location. There was eight sites looked at, and the suggestion about building on Queen's Place was one of those options, was
yeah.
right there. Now, whether it was connected to it or right next to it, that piece of land was one of the eight sites that was
yeah.
reviewed.
And at that point in time, there was not discussion about a pool combined with a library. So we can't make decisions and then backtrack on them because new information, because suddenly we want to talk about a pool and a library. We decided we were going to build a library. Eight sites were looked at, and from there. And then I believe last week the discussion was respecting the cost of a road to Queen's Place, and was that included in the library cost or was it not? Was not that the discussion?
Part of it.
So let's get the road. So the road.
Do you want me to explain?
Yes, explain
yes.
the road.
So council's had many discussions
yes.
about, as council's aware, in the past, the former council passed a motion that any sale of lands over at the Queen's Place site would be put into a reserve or set aside for future infrastructure upgrades on that property over there. Okay, so I think. I don't know exact number, but it's $120,000 or $140,000 is what's remaining in there, okay? At that time, and then since then, council's had several discussions about selling the land adjacent to the Best Western to the Queen's Care Building Society, get the name right, with the expectation that they want sewer and water extended or roadway, whatever it's going to be, and so there'd be no impact on the taxpayers because we would sell it to them at fair market value, and then that money, part of that money would then be used to develop or extend the infrastructure or develop that that road right away. So that was the discussion we've had on a couple different occasions from my recollection, okay? So during, since then, they are working on their plans about what that building's gonna look like, where it's gonna lay out on the property, whether they need water and sewer and so on and so forth. And after the discussion at council, I wasn't here last meeting, but I reached out to them, and they're waiting for the region to tell them what our plans are. And so their plans right now, they need us to extend water and sewer up the road further. That's my understanding from my discussions with them. And so the idea that's $1 million for a library is not a fair suggestion. There is the water and sewer ends at a certain spot. If you wish to not extend it further for the Queen's Manor, or the new long-term care facility, they'll have to run a sewer lateral, and the water lateral will 400 feet, something like that, I think, which is very long. They'll have to do that. And then the road that will abut on their property will be gravel, or it'll be mud, as it is today, with no sidewalks, no pavement or anything. They'll have to do that. But if council wishes to take the money that they use for the land, they sell for the land, and you wish to extend water and sewer up to their property line, up to where they would like it to go, which is up where their driveway would be. They'll have multiple driveways. And if you wish to pave the road or put a sidewalk in, then that's up to council to decide. And so based on those discussions, our engineering staff have come up with a preliminary budget number that'll be presented to council later this week. I think it's $950,000 to run the road the whole way to the end, library doesn't need it to the end, Queens Manor doesn't need it to the end, but that's the proposal from our staff to, if you're gonna do it all at once, put the roadway and everything in and pave it, put sidewalks, streetlights, water and sewer and all those things. If we run the sewer and water up as far as where the plans that I've seen recently that Queens Manor needs, it's almost up to the property line for the library. So the extra cost to connect a lateral to the library, based on the plans I've seen, would be very minimal. And so if council does not wish to extend the roadway up, if you wanna just leave it gravel, that's fine, then the library would simply have to put onsite water and sewer in there, probably $50,000, and they will have to incorporate that into the budget that's already been established. And I can't speak to the engineering staff, they are present, they can speak to what, how they come up with the numbers and why they're proposing what they're proposing.
Councilor Muse?
It was never, that I remember, unless I was away from one of the meetings, or asleep, it was never mentioned that the money from Queens, New Manor, whatever it's about, was gonna be put into the river. We discussed about the money going towards maybe purchasing some land over there. And then we discussed, I brought up once about what's gonna happen to Hillsview Acres, about tearing that down, maybe we could use the money for that. I never remember anybody mentioning that we're gonna take that money and put a road along that to go to the library now.
Councilor Charlton?
The issue I have with this is that the comment about that motion that past council spend the money there, but what we've learned recently based off of that motion coming back to support the Queens Place land was that motions don't stick with old versus new councils. And this is not a policy, so I just don't understand, I guess, why it would be assumed that we would do that when it's a decision of council and we weren't awarded the opportunity to do that, and now we're talking about it now after we already passed a motion to put it there. And it was my understanding from the last meeting from our director of engineering that the manor had no plans to tie in further. They were tying in at the end of the cul-de-sac where it currently ends, and if I'm not mistaken, I believe he's on the Queens Care Building Committee as a representative from the region. So I'm struggling to understand this and the comment about, you know, we can't go back after making a decision because we have new information. I think that's a valid reason to change your mind when you have new information come up like this. I mean, it sounds to me like the library committee was under the assumption that this was a signed deal, that infrastructure was happening, and we didn't have an opportunity to discuss if that's how we wanted to spend that money.
There is a way to change your mind about when new information comes forward, and it's called rescinding a motion.
Yes, I know, Mayor Norman, but I'm asking questions and I'm not getting any answers.
Because those are, you were answered, CEO McNeil and Director Grant, you sit on the Queens Care, they do not need any extension of road or anything. They don't need any more pavement over there.
I haven't been directly involved in any meetings since probably June or May, last spring. Last we spoke as the engineering staff, the construction team, I guess we'll call them, they provided some drawings, this preliminary layout schematics for the site, and they were departing directly from where services ended, all the stack to their facility.
And and what, how long ago is that?
That would be probably mid-January. I haven't heard anything back from you since.
So, I guess without Queens Care engineers.
Point of order, Madam Mayor. Council Gindy, second hand.
Oh.
Yes, my thought pattern on this, the reason we chose Queens Place was chosen was because Privateer Park was gonna cost us $600,000 to put the building there. And then at our last meeting, we found it was gonna cost us an additional $950,000 to put the library over at Queens Place, or Queens See, that's where the dilemma is, like, it would be cheaper, and that's what we gotta look at, like, the taxpayers' money that's going out. So we're not saving $600,000, we're spending $950,000, it's.
That is if it's a paved road with sidewalk, but if you do an onsite septic system and a well for $50,000, $60,000.
If I may, and so the 950 has nothing to do with the library. That's about building a road and infrastructure. So it's not an extra 950 for a library. You could put a couple loads of gravel down and have a gravel road to the Queen's Manor, the new $60-70 million facility, and have a gravel road to the library and put on, for whatever that's going to cost you, a couple thousand dollars, and put on-site water and sewer on the library property with included in the current budget. So it's not, there's no extra money here. Unless you want to build this to the high standard, that includes all the way to the end with all the infrastructure for everything else that's there. The library has never entertained or discussed anything about building a road all the way to the end and sidewalks on both sides and street lights and whether there's water or sewer. They just assumed, as Queens Manor's assuming, that we're going to extend it. So my discussions with the Queens Care Building Society are obviously different than our engineers, because they assume they're waiting for us to tell them what we're going to do and whether they're going to have to build a road and pay for it, or we're going to have to build a road and pay for it, or they're going to have to extend the services, or we're going to have to pay for the services.
And see, that's where the dilemma is, because we don't know the answers. There's questions, then we don't even know the questions. Like, there's a road going, so I feel very frustrated that I just feel like I'm going around in a circle. We make decisions on information that we think is correct, and then we find out it's not, or there's additional information that we didn't understand or didn't realize, and it makes it very awkward to make a decision on what's best for the municipality, what's best for our taxpayers. And I just find it very, like, if the manor's going, why wouldn't they put the road in? I don't even answer, but that's just a question I would think, if they're gonna build, that would be part of their build, would be the road, so.
Councilor Brown?
I seem to remember when we had this discussion earlier that with the Queens Care Society, part of our contribution was the road and the water into that, and I thought we were taking the money that we were selling the land, and that was gonna cover our contribution to this part of the project, but that's my recollection of it.
So we all have different recollections.
Yep.
So what we need, because we cannot guess what the Queens Care Society are doing. I don't sit on it, you don't sit on it. So until we know from them, and it's unfortunate, I thought they were going to do a presentation sooner than later on what they're building over there. I mean, we cannot continue this end of this discussion any further until we hear from Queens Manor and understand what it is that they need, that they're looking for.
I don't understand how that is the case. We've never had a discussion where we agreed to do that. And if we did, I'm sure it could be easily pulled up, but it's not there. And we have our director of engineering saying that they do not require that. So I just don't understand the mentality here. And I would like to see this motion rescinded, because we were told last time that grants weren't being applied for this, and the 2 years that we've been on council, we were told that staff would go after whatever grants they could. Mayor Norman, at the last meeting, you said
so
they weren't directed
do you
to
wish
do
to
so.
Give
I would
a notice.
Like to finish,
do
you, please.
Councilor Charlton, do you wish, are you giving a notice to rescind?
Yes.
Okay, it's been duly noted that the notion to rescind the location of the library at Queen's Place has been made, and
I second it.
We second it, and it'll be at, you'll bring that forward at your next
meeting. So in their rules of order, it could require, if it says that it can require 2/3.
If it's done at this point in time.
Pardon me?
If it's done right now.
Done at this point in time, or if it comes back at the next meeting,
it's
it requires
a
just a majority?
Yes.
Notice to rescind.
Any other discussion on that? 8.4, sidewalks, Councilor Charlton.
I just wanted to have a conversation about sidewalks. I'm just going to just pass these out so members of council understand what I'm talking about.
Thank you.
I had a resident reach out to me in regards to the new buildings being constructed up in Hobbs Ridge, I believe, according to our director, Mike McLeod. Those were subject to site plan approval? Okay. So if you look at the map on, if you can see Hobbs Ridge Road there, it shows two buildings. There's actually four there now. And those buildings are, there's 8 apartments in each one. So there's currently 32 units. And with the two that are being, that will be built, it will equal 48 household units, I guess, in total. So this gentleman had received a notice that he could appeal it if he wished. He was actually very supportive of the developments, but the concern, which I've heard from other residents in the area as well, is that because of these developments, the traffic has really increased in that area. It's close to the schools, and if you look where it says on Coral Street, just as it rounds the corner there, the sidewalk ends. And it does not have a sidewalk until you get over to College Street, and that's the sidewalk begins on the walk, I guess, to the high school or the daycare. So I said I would bring it up for conversation. Obviously, I don't know what other members of council think. In our municipal planning strategy, under sidewalks and pedestrian connections, it says almost every trip begins and ends on foot or wheelchair. Sidewalks provide a safe, accessible location for pedestrians and wheelchair users to travel. Sidewalks are particularly important in areas with a high volume of vulnerable users, such as near schools or retirement homes. Even beyond these areas, sidewalks are important for promoting active transportation along with its associated health and sustainability benefits. Existing sidewalks in Queens are located in the cores of Liverpool, Milton, and Caledonia. The current sidewalk networks are generally well connected, offering a continuous path for users. However, they do not extend to the entirety of these communities. Council is interested in expanding these networks and may do so through municipal investment in established areas. Council also has the opportunity through the development agreement criteria of Section 6.4 to require retrofitted sidewalks for discretionary approvals in areas without sidewalks. So I just wanted to bring this up for food for thought on, I know we're coming into budget, but possibly if we could look at a plan of maybe allocating some money towards something like this to be able to do this at some point if it's not this year. Understanding that I do not know what the cost is, that would be something that our staff obviously would have to cost, but I just wanted to bring it up because of, I guess, how much that area has grown. It used to be fairly quiet and people weren't concerned about their kids walking through there, but now there's a lot more traffic.
Well, I do know that the budget slides are ready for Friday, and that are you suggesting that this be added to this year's budget? Or next year's budget?
I guess more so I just wanted to open up a conversation for council to see if there was support in further expanding these sidewalks, and if there was, I guess that could look differently. Maybe council would be on board with allocating some money into our budget to get to this point. I know we have a line on them for sidewalks, but I think my understanding from our director of engineering is that it's for maintaining the sidewalks we have. So I just really wanted to bring it up, food for thought. So if other people are in agreement that maybe we could allocate some money and we start, maybe it's a new reserve for new sidewalks or something. I said I would bring it up, and I just wanted to see what other people thought.
And that would be a budget matter discussion. discussion.
We do have a sidewalk reserve map. We put $25,000 a year, and I think there's $50,000 in it now. And
I thought, my understanding was that was for maintaining the sidewalks we have, so is that wide open for?
Reserves aren't for maintenance. Reserves aren't for maintenance.
Okay.
The regular budget covers sidewalk maintenance. There's allocation in the budget for sidewalk maintenance, which
okay.
is regular. There's, I think there's 50,000 plus whatever's in there.
So there's.
So you'll see it on Friday at budget meeting, what's there and what's, and putting more money in the budget this year. So there's money that could be allocated this year or continue to add money to the reserve and allocate for this project or another project
okay.
in the future.
Okay, I was under the impression it was only for maintenance, so that's why. Okay, thank you.
So does that satisfy your question?
I mean, it still opens it up if other councillors wish to comment, I guess.
Yeah.
Councillor Gidney?
But we can build sidewalks in sections, is that correct? Like so many hundred feet or whatever. Like it doesn't have to be a complete sidewalk. They can be built in sections, is that correct?
Build things however way you want them.
Yeah, put it loosely, you can build whatever you want, but it's going to have to be something that makes sense at the end of the day.
Exactly.
So
yes.
If you're looking at an area like Hobbs Road is, you're going to have to identify a section that makes sense and do it all at one time, otherwise your phase one's going to accomplish nothing. Until phase two, phase three, whatever it is, complete, so cautious in your
Is there a price per foot usually on the?
There is, and it's a formulation of many factors considering stormwater influence in the street and things of those nature. So we haven't spent any time whatsoever looking at it, but Bar Street does have buried storm culvert that's in not the greatest shape, which we'll be assessing in the coming years. Hall Street the same. So neither approach to those lands is simple in that sense. To invest money in a sidewalk and not resolve what's buried below would be foolhardy. So we need to be comprehensive in our approach, make sure we're solving everything in one fell swoop.
Is that like a couple hundred thousand, half a million?
Honestly, not something I can speculate.
You wouldn't even ballpark it. But it's substantial.
I would suggest it would be substantial because I don't think it'd be wise to invest in a sidewalk and not repair the stormwater infrastructure below it. And when you do that, are you opening yourself up that you should also repair the water infrastructure, the sewer, and all that? And then you get into jobs that we see that cost us 7 figures or so.
Today, for some reason, I read 36 pages of asset management, and those are the kinds of things it talked about, that it's a process. And when you start putting money on infrastructure, then you look at all other infrastructure that ties with it and how they all work together. So you're right in that. It's not a matter of putting sidewalks. It would be a matter of looking at all the infrastructure that could be corrected at the same point in time. So Councillor Charlton, are you understanding that? Is it something that perhaps Director Grant, or we need to discuss a budget, like when in reality, in what year, this would actually fit in that capital plan? Because we do have that 5-year capital plan, and this would fit in, it would have to go in that plan.
Are you asking me or Director Grant?
No, Director Grant.
Oh, sorry.
Right. And Councillor Charlton, like, I understand. But actually, as I guess it's a question of both of you, because you'll understand how it works. We have a 5-year capital plan, and that, having heard from Director Grant, the intricacies involved, it's substantial, and it will need to fit
absolutely
somewhere.
Yeah. I do understand if that wastewater system is going to be looked at in the next, 5 years, you're not going to put sidewalks in and then rip them out. You're going to deal with that, and then you'll put the sidewalks in at the same time as construction.
Right.
Like they always
right.
add sidewalks when it makes sense. I didn't know that there were any issues regarding that. So more so just a conversation for council, and we're going into budget, so maybe we allocate a little more into our sidewalk reserve.
Where's that sidewalk reserve? Is that off of tax area rate for Liverpool? That comes off the general tax rate?
General tax.
Because it was not just for Liverpool, because of sidewalks in
Milton and Caledonia.
But anyways, that answers my part.
Okay. do we put in so much a year, or?
$25,000.
Any other discussion on that? Is that finished? Live streaming, Counselor Charlton?
Dave had a question.
What, did Dave have a?
That's okay, I'm good.
And Jack, you too.
Jack, you had a question? Your hand's behind Vicky's head, that's why I haven't seen it.
You gotta really put it up there, you have to do it a little bit.
Yeah.
But it's just like, as Counselor Charlton has said, if we can start looking even long-term of, as we start looking at replacing the sewer water, everything else, if that can fit in with the project, then it can be able to maybe change of where we're gonna go and what we're gonna do. And, see how it fits in, as again, as long-term.
If you let him talk, I wanna talk now.
Counselor Brown?
I think it's a great idea. I mean, I've been down and walked from Bridgewater up through Glen Allen, and they've got a subdivision there with no sidewalks. It's a horrible way to get through, and I understand what the residents are saying, that there's gonna be more development, we wanna get people out physically active and get them moving, we have to have a way to get them out there so they're not walking in the streets.
8.5, live streaming.
I have a lot to say today. So, the live streaming, so we've had many challenges recording our council meetings, challenges for council, our viewers, and certainly for our staff. I understand this takes up considerable amount of time after council trying to download this, piece it together, and get it up for the public, which results sometimes in the public having to wait a few days to see it. At our last meeting, we had to stop recording a few times, and unfortunately, this hasn't been the first time. I understand that we are waiting on our audio improvements, which will be welcome with open arms.
Counselor Charlton, I'm going to interrupt because I get called on point of order all the time. You can, you should not, if you're reading verbatim.
I'm not.
Okay.
As I was saying, our audio, our upgrades are going to be welcome with open arms, but I would like to see, once that is completed, us to live stream our meetings. It would provide people at home to watch our council meetings in real time. It's equal opportunity for everyone. We do not have, everyone does not have the opportunity to attend meetings, whether it's in the day or evening, so it's a further step to do so. And when I looked at other municipalities, there were very few that actually did not do live streaming. Almost all of our neighboring municipalities live stream, and I understand that we have our communications person who's tweeting on Twitter in our council meetings, but when you look at the Twitter engagement versus the YouTube recordings where people can watch the meetings, the engagement is almost tripled on the YouTube recordings where people can watch the meetings than on Twitter. And I know for people who are hearing impaired, the recordings are welcome because it's closed captioned. So I just wanted to bring that up. I know our audio will be fixed, I hope, really soon, which will improve many things in this room, but if we could get our live streaming up, it would cut down on staff time having to deal with that after the fact. They would deal with it in real time here as well.
So can live streaming be done with this?
This is a test project tonight.
Can it be done?
And live streaming often, maybe we ought to ask our IT person what is required for live streaming, like how much.
So with this camera, it is possible. I never plugged it in tonight, so it died on me, but yes, we can do it. Basically, it'll just act like a camera, so we can stream it to as many platforms as we simultaneously, as long as we have the right software to do that.
So live streaming usually goes to where?
Well, we can do it on Facebook, a lot of people do it on YouTube, so a lot of people find Facebook easier than YouTube, and vice versa.
Yeah.
Because not everybody would have an account, right, so.
But a lot of people do have Facebook accounts, so, I mean, I really don't see a problem with live streaming myself, but it just gives people more opportunity to have to watch the council meeting.
Counselor Charlton, aren't you on a communication committee?
Yes, I am on a communication committee, and we did not discuss live streaming.
Well, can you not bring that back up on that?
I could do that, but I also have the ability to discuss this here with members of council, so I wish to discuss this here.
That's true, but the purpose of committees is to discuss things at a committee level, and whether or not it's Facebook or YouTube, I know of people who are anti-Facebook and will never sign on Facebook. Whereas YouTube, is that not more of a neutral platform?
But I'm not talking about limiting. So if you look at other municipalities, a lot of them live stream on Facebook, and that same recording is still put on their YouTube channel.
Okay.
They utilize both, so they don't limit it to a particular user. I know I had asked Mayor Mitchell in Bridgewater about how they deal with live streaming, and they used to have Eastlink film their council meetings, and then during COVID they stopped sending their camera person, and then they started live streaming on Facebook, and they've had like 4 times the amount of engagement with their community, and so they just kept that way. They never went back to Eastlink.
So what does council wish to do? Do you wish to investigate what's required for live streaming? I know where, you know, what we'll need for equipment, if that one's going to be fine situated there, or if it needs to be, we need to have something there, or where. So do you just simply want staff to investigate how it would work, Councillor Brown?
I'd kind of like to take this back to the communications committee and have that discussion with, you know, with different stakeholders, so we can get some better ideas what it's going to look like, what the pitfalls are before we start discussing it. I know some of the live streaming stuff I've seen online, the comment sections go completely haywire, and you know, if anybody's sitting here with their phone, they're getting comments in real time, and that's not what we want from the public, because you know, we want to hear from the public, but we don't want them in influencing how we make our decisions at the time.
So it really is a committee. Your committee has not finished yet. And just like the fire committee, our discussion went back to the fire committee, this discussion should go to the communication committee, because they are the committee that we established to review all of our communication, and this is an important part of our communication. We don't want to shortcut that committee and jump over them and make a decision when we've set up a committee to do just what Councillor Charlton has suggested. It's a good thing to take to the committee.
But can you not turn off notifications to the live stream?
You probably can, yeah.
Those are all committee. Those are things that should go to the committee for discussion. There is a committee that's struck to discuss communications. And why have a committee if we're just going to jump over them and make decisions when we've asked them to come up with a report? Councillor Charlton?
I'm not trying to jump over a committee that two of us councillors are on, which we're sitting right here. There are very few staff on our committee. I brought this up because after the last council meeting, it was awful to sit here and have to wait for a device that wasn't cooperating, and it happened more than once. And so I just, you know, I think some of these things we should be able to deal with fairly fast, and we do have a communications person and we have an IT person. So if we just direct that we want to live stream, I don't think it's going to be super fancy and, you know, anything really amazing at first. I think it's going to take time based off of my conversations with Bridgewater and how they did theirs. You know, they just started off really basic, and then as they got used to it, then they progressed. And I don't think it's that big of a deal, but if the rest of these members of council want it to go to the communications committee, then I will add it to the communications committee.
The council feel it is the job of the committee to discuss this as a communication matter. We've heard from Councillor Brown, who said it is. I see Councillor Muse nodding his head, but it's a member, it's for a committee. Councillor, Deputy Mayor Fancy?
I think Councillor Charlton has made a very valid point, that is that some things do need to be taken back and to be able to find out the good, the bad, and the ugly of different things.
situations that we have and the problem, and that a committee isn't going to have all the same as we have here and understand what we want and what we need. And I don't think it's a big thing. It isn't like, I don't think it's earth-shattering of trying to stream a council meeting. I think we're making something big out of this, which it's only something small. I think it could very easily be done.
Councilor Muse?
I didn't agree with the committee. I agree. We're looking at setting something up, hopefully, in the next couple of weeks here. So do we have to tell them that we want to be going live stream? And if we do, it's a good time to get it set up now, instead of waiting for the committee to decide and then come back and tell the consultant whatever, all we want this now. So I think we have to tell them what we want before that.
Could I clarify something?
Well, don't we have a consultant doing, I thought we had.
Sound.
I just want to clarify something, because there's confusion. I'm not saying to change something of whoever's doing this audio improvement here. All I'm saying is live streaming. So, for example, when you go to Chandler's for a service, they have a stand, they have an iPad, and they put it on, and they live stream through that. The sound improvements in this room are going to do, like, it's going to be so much better. And so then it improves that. When you listen to our recording now, it is hard to hear, even the video, because the sound's not the best in here. That sound problem is going to fix a lot of problems. But what I'm saying is live streaming. So you would connect to YouTube or Facebook, for example, and if your wife was home this evening, she could watch this council meeting in real time from your house.
She's not going to watch.
So I'm just trying, I'm not asking to add. All we need, like, I'm just asking for support in the live stream, which can be a direction. Maybe it looks like if council is supportive of the live stream, it goes to the communications committee with how that works, how that direction from council all ties together. I'm not sure what the right answer is. I just know that there's a lot of frustrated people in our community trying to engage and watch this, and I just simply want to make it better for our community. That's all.
So is it the majority of council who wishes to see that council indicate to the committee that they're in favor of live stream? That's your question.
Yes.
Okay, so but you can take that to your committee that the majority of council are of that opinion.
But, Mayor Norm.
Yeah.
So I understood we hired a project manager or something to look at the sound system and the video of this room.
Not a video. Ruled that out. We only budgeted for sound. That was
because right now the way we do it, like, we only have 3 hours of taping on it, on that, but we're a joke. People watching, we have to stop because our video's running out of.
Yes, but Councilor Muse, you will recall that council decided not to do video audio. And they only voted to do audio at half the price. So
I watch the commercials all the time. And they have the iPhone 14,
yeah,
which you can make a movie.
Well,
why aren't we buying an iPhone 14?
I'm just telling
you. We did it to improve audio, but we never said we were not
right.
Doing this. So I'm just saying this is just a better way to improve on what we're doing. That's it. Nothing fancy. Don't need $1 million.
Yeah.
And that's it.
So we are just, our money is just being spent at this point in time on the audio. Director Grant. Prior to the Astor Theater, council had discussed knowing that sound, the heating and cooling was insufficient, and it appears that Director Grant had already started some movement toward that. So
it's been on our radar for a few years now. The heating issues at the Astor Theater, you know, over the winter on the really cold days, we can burn four or five hundred liters worth of oil in a day. So we were advised installed at the town hall in Astor Theater. We began the process with a permit with our mechanical consultant of a comprehensive system that would address all those issues of heating, cooling, as well as ventilation, which doesn't exist right now. That was obviously prior to society looking to do what they want to do. This is just the first step in a comprehensive system development for that facility.
No discussion.
I see that the fee, I believe that the fee is very reasonable. And I think we have to find out what we need to do, what we have to do, what is required. And the only way that we're gonna get this done is by doing this. So I think this is a definitely a good first move.
And just on that note, the fee of just under $11,000 is pretty preliminary work, just to identify existing conditions, how the building's shaped, what modifications have been made, what space alignment, that kind of stuff, looking at existing boilers, and they've already identified, I guess, one solution that could work, and maintains the heritage kind of aspect of the facility, so verifying that works before we go to the next step to a more in-depth design, which that kind of stuff. It could certainly align capital costs of a full-scale project.
Yes, sir.
So, heating, cooling, and ventilation. Any, Counselor Romero?
And I would say at, what, $750 a day heater? I think we need to look at something.
That is on the worst days when it is 25 below outside. Not every day, but it certainly happens through the years.
Yeah. Any other, Counselor Charlton?
I have a few questions. It's my understanding from the Astor Theater Society that they have been working with an engineering firm to apply for this grant that we had discussed at the last council meeting. So you said this is really preliminary. So have you had any conversation with them to see if the work that they've had done from their pro bono engineers covers any of this, Adam? Or?
I did have one conversation with Lynn Cochran. They're working with M&R Engineering, a firm not familiar with the city, which is fine. They were securing their services to help complete the technical side of the grant they were looking into and potentially look at the energy audit that they would have to undertake as part of that grant process. Some of the work may overlap to a minor degree, but probably less than 5% overlap. Really what they are doing and what we're doing might have the same outcome in the end, but it's two different things happening simultaneously.
And then I just also wondered, as far as DUMAC, I don't know how these are typically chosen, but are they experienced with arts and cultural buildings and the aspect of the acoustics, because I know that is what the theater is obviously most concerned about maintaining the quality of.
They are. So we've worked with DUMAC on a few projects. They seem to have a pretty good track record with all kinds of approaches, whether it's schools. They did some work with Hillsview for us, the call center project. They also did upgrades at provincial heritage buildings in the city. The courthouse, I think, was one that he identified that resembles, in a lot of ways, the Astor Theater architectural side, and they found a solution to work really good there.
Right.
Maintained all the historical kind of integrity of the facility,
mm-hmm.
and that could be applied to this facility down the road potentially.
Okay, and just lastly, my understanding was the Theater Society was planning to initiate a study as a part of them going after this grant. So I think it is a good idea that we support it because there's no guarantee that they will get the grant, and we know there's an issue there. But could they be consulted? In this regard, just where they do have concerns about their acoustics, is that something that would be considered?
So, in the discussions with DUMAC, we did talk about its performing arts space, and any design that they come out with from that would be compliant with whatever standard. I'm not familiar with what it is, but it would be, kind of cognizant of the impact that it would have to our performing arts world. Certainly wouldn't impact them to a negative degree. That's not their intention.
Okay.
So it's on the radar.
Any other questions, Councilor Brown?
Sure. Who pays for this? Is it us that owns the building, or is it the users who are using the building?
This is from our discussion. This is not from discussion of the theater, of the Astor Theater Society. This came from our discussion probably last year and the year before and councils previous, because of the cost of that oil burner guzzler and no ventilation and other things. I mean, it's our building. Be no difference than if the Hank Snow Center found out that it had structural integrity problems, even though they're responsible for paying every nickel that they do there, that if that building was structurally had problems, we wouldn't expect them to pay for any structural integrity problems, right? So,
yeah, right.
So it's us as the
you
owners.
See where I'm going.
It's us as the owners of the building that would pay for that.
Yeah.
Or taxpayers as the owners of the building, which is basically, in the long run, it saves money.
Yeah.
Either that or we decide to give the theater away for a dollar.
Nope.
Mm-hmm. So, when's the change?
No.
What's needed from the business? Is there a motion
you need
that
a motion,
needed?
You need a recommendation.
Yeah, I recommend that this is brought forward to our next meeting in the form of a motion, please.
Seconded by Councillor Charlton. All those in favor? That's it. And discussion budget meeting.
Sorry, yes, I could have elaborated that on the beginning. I just wanted to confirm that because budget meetings are meetings of council, that these will be recorded. I know that that didn't happen last year when we were in Caledonia, just given where we were and we weren't in our council chambers. So I just want to confirm that our budget meetings will be recorded.
I'm not certain if they're recorded or not. I know council meetings are recorded. We don't.
We've never recorded the committee meeting for anything.
I believe that we recorded our budget meetings last year, with the exception of the first one.
Did or not?
Don't remember.
Well, I'll change that to I would like to see our budget meetings recorded. They are open to the public. Everyone is welcome to attend. So it's a big deal, and I think that the public should have the opportunity to watch them if they so wish.
Just counsel the wish, understanding that, wish to have your budget meeting recorded?
I think we should.
Yeah, sure.
Doesn't mean the public has the right to be here anyway, so what's the difference?
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, I think we should.
It's open to the public.
So we'll find a way to record the budget meetings.
Same way. Just if it's 7 hours of recording, you'll have to take breaks.
It's not any different than the council meeting.
We'll need breaks anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's
keep
just
the meetings under 3 hours.
Okay, thank you.
Jesus.
And I need a motion to move in camera.
So move.
Second.
All those in favor?
Gracious.
Yeah. Recommendation, Kevin, you want to make that?
Yeah. I move that the Council of the Region of Queens Municipality enter into the proposed lease agreement with the Nova Scotia Drag Races Association for the continued use of the South Shore Regional Airport.
Seconded by?
I will.
Councilor Romero. And any discussion? In our minutes, you can reflect that negotiations with the Nova Scotia Drag Racers were successful and reached a mutual agreement. And they're with their lease and looking forward to them being able to establish their dates and start their schedule. Any other comments? Not a lot of question. All those in favor?